May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. There's a story my mom tells that some of you may relate to from your own childhoods. When she was a kid, The Wizard of Oz would be shown on television once a year and always on a Sunday evening. Anybody else remember that? All right. Well, my mom was the daughter of a Baptist preacher, so you know where she was on Sunday nights. She always got to watch the first part, and it wasn't until she was dating my dad that she got to see the whole movie. But it wasn't just the ending that surprised her. It was also a surprise to learn that when Dorothy lands in Oz, the movie suddenly changes to color. This is something you couldn't tell from the Parsonage's black and white television set. As she has tried to impress upon us kids over the years just how stunning that moment was for her, but I don't think we were ever satisfactorily impressed. Having always had color TV, we were unmoved by her story. It is worth noting, however, that these days she seems quite satisfied watching us struggle to impress our own kids with the miracle of on-demand television. It's always been this way for them, so they can't imagine TV that can't be paused or rewound. I guess it's not even winding, right? It's just running it back. And what it was like to simply miss a show because you weren't home to see it. It's tempting for us to get nostalgic for the olden days and the olden ways. Like when you had to get up to change the channel, I was the remote, right? Or adjust the rabbit ears. But the truth is, no one would willingly return to previous eras of television viewing. When we see Dorothy's slippers in their true ruby red, we know that we could never go back to watching The Wizard of Oz in black and white. Can you think of a time in your life when you were introduced to a new product or a new way of doing something and thought, wow, I will never go back to the old way again? When we are presented with something better, even former things that once served a purpose and were valuable, can become uninteresting or inconsequential. Our New Testament reading for today comes from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Now take a moment with me to refresh our memories about who Paul was. Paul is introduced in the biblical narrative after the events of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Initially, he is referred to solely by the Hebrew version of his name, Saul. In his letters and later in Acts, however, he is known as Paul, which is how I'll be talking about him this morning. Paul first appears on the scene at the stoning of the deacon Stephen. He stands by approvingly as Stephen is made the first Christian martyr. Paul continues that persecution of the church by dragging people to prison for their faith in Jesus. He's so zealous in this work, in fact, that he requests permission from the high priest to travel 150 miles away to Damascus to see if their synagogues have anyone professing Jesus, and if so, he will arrest them and bring them back to Jerusalem. But his plans are disrupted on his way when Jesus himself appears, blinds, and rebukes him. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Now, this moment is the bronze medal winner for most important moments for the founding of Christianity. The gold, of course, must go to Easter morning, the resurrection. The silver to the Holy Spirit's arrival at Pentecost. But a close third is this moment when the greatest enemy of the church meets Jesus and instantaneously becomes the church's greatest champion. Now, 2025 knows a little bit about how hard it is to change someone's mind about deeply held beliefs. Yes, we all know people, or might ourselves be people, who would need Jesus himself to appear to change our minds about what is right and what is wrong in this world? Well, Paul was the same way. But lucky for him and for us, a meeting with Jesus is exactly what he got. And Paul becomes an ardent missionary and seems to gain with his conversion incisive understanding of what the Christ event meant for the world. In fact, his letters are where we get the bulk of our Christian theology. Paul's new zeal for spreading the gospel lands him in prison, which is where he is when he writes the letter we read today. Despite being in prison, Philippians is not a letter of regret or despair, but one of deep joy. Our passage for today begins with Paul outlining his impressive credentials. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Paul holds himself up as an example of one who, in his context, had everything going for him, from prestigious ancestry to upright behavior. And then comes a surprising twist. Yet, whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. Paul wants his reader to understand that his focus is on Christ, not because his previous life was bad. His previous life was pretty darn impressive. Even so, what he has found in Christ is infinitely better. He has found something so much better than his pedigree and resume that he now considers them all to be rubbish. Now, children, you're going to want to pay attention here because I know that for children, bathroom humor is always funny. And you don't get potty talk in church very often. But this word that's translated rubbish, in Greek, it actually means excrement. And if you don't know what that means, ask your parents to whisper it to you, because I think I've pushed this just about as far as I will from the pulpit. Oh, they're getting it now. I can see the giggles in the back. Nice. Paul considers all the good things he had going for him to be like excrement because of what he has found in Jesus. What a contrast! It's as if Paul has seen that Oz is in color and he will not, cannot go back to television in black and white. He has watched shows on his own schedule, fast-forwarded through ads, and will not go back to being a slave to the TV guide. For those versed in social media, and now the children might need to inform the parents, it's like that distracted boyfriend meme you see online. Paul's head is turned. He is ignoring the former things. Jesus has his full attention. Paul's conversion moves him from building up an impressive resume to understanding that resume building is not the mechanism to win the prize. In fact, there isn't even a prize for him to win. That prize has already been won through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But now he understands that we are all invited to share in that already won prize. Paul confesses he has no righteousness of his own, but one that comes through faith in Christ. Now, you know, every once in a while, I have to point out a nerdy original language tidbit. And here's the time I'm going to have to. So if you're interested, zone in. And if not, take a little nap. If you're not already. Sorry. But here is a great example of decisions that translators make that have a real impact on our theology. The phrase pistou Christos can mean either faith in Christ or the faith of Christ. So if translated as faith in Christ, we people have at least some responsibility in attaining righteousness. Christ did the hard part, of course. But there's action we must take. We must believe in Christ, have faith in Christ. But if we read this as faith of Christ, humanity's role is further diminished. We attain righteousness not because of anything we do, but because of the faith of Christ. Our salvation is all only about what Jesus has done through his perfect faithfulness. It's pure grace. Now, either reading leads us to a similar place, of course. Christ won righteousness for us, and it's our only path. The most that we might need to do is simply believe in it. When Paul was struck blind on the road to Damascus, he was also simultaneously awakened to a new vision of vivid color. He never faltered from living out his call, sharing the good news of Jesus all over the ancient world. But notice that Paul does not forsake the former things simply to be rewarded with a free ride. He lets them go because they do not compare to the joy he has received by knowing Christ. For Paul, knowing Christ is not mere intellectual assent. Paul wants to walk in the ways of Jesus, to share in his suffering, and even in his death. We gather here each week because at one time or another, in one way or another, we have met Christ. And we have seen the world no longer in black and white, but in color. And like Paul, we are compelled to follow the one who teaches us to love our enemies, to reach for those on the margins, and to work for a world where the last is put first. We are compelled to follow the one who has shared with us a righteousness we cannot attain for ourselves. Now, from time to time, we forget this, and we slip back into thinking our worth is born out of our credentials or achievements. But that thinking is like going back to watching Dorothy on a black and white television. Why would we ever settle for colorless living? We mustn't. Worship helps recenter us to the truth that all that we have is rubbish next to knowing Christ Jesus in all his colorful glory, his life, his suffering, his death and resurrection. As we are coming to the end of the Lenten season, we will soon dramatize again the world's transition from black and white to color. We will walk through the difficult days of betrayal, abandonment, physical and psychological suffering, and death. We will wait in the gutting loss of Holy Saturday. And when the storm passes, the wind settles, we will open our eyes to an empty tomb and the dazzling technicolor hope of resurrection. As we walk through these final Lenten days, let us lay down the old reels of black and white living. Let us renew our release of the former things, and like Paul, press forward, embracing the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as Lord, of knowing him both in his suffering and in his resurrected glory. Because once we've seen the full spectrum of color Christ has won for us, why would we settle for anything less? Thanks be to God. Amen.